appreciate the prayer, the singing this morning. I ask that you'd continue to pray. Sometimes I remember, well, a few weeks ago when I was in California, it was the first time they called on me. I told them, I said, I felt like the Apostle Paul when he said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel that, to them that are at Rome. But also sometimes I'm, if there's anything in me, I guess I'll try. And I beg an interest in your prayers this morning. I want to start over in Luke. I've got a phrase in my mind that is used, I found, three times in the New Testament. And perhaps we'll look at some this morning. I don't believe the, well, I just want to use this first one as a way to introduce it. But this here, in the 23rd chapter of Luke, this here is, we'll start in verse 39, and this is the thief on the cross account, one of them. And one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." And the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." But this man is the phrase that is on my mind this morning. I've tried to speak on it before. And kind of entered last night through other, or this morning, I can't remember which one. But it's found twice in the book of Hebrews that I found. I'm not going to. And I want to go to the first example is in Hebrews chapter 7. But this man, Hebrews chapter 7, this book, this chapter is about Melchizedek. We'll start at 1. He was king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Verse 4, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. It says, consider how great this man was. But then we go and it talks about the Lord, and it says, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. I'm just kind of hitting some spots here. And then and it's in Judah, there was no priest. The priesthood was in the Levites. And in verse 19, well, let's see, where am I going here? Verse 23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Verse 24, but this man continueth, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them that to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now it says they were truly many high priests in the Old Testament, but they were limited. Why was there many? Because they died. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And then it talks about where he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now, I remember one time I used this scripture here, and I believe it was right here. And I said, I don't know if this is talking about, or I said, sometimes I think this is talking, he is able to save them to the uttermost, eternal salvation. And sometimes I might think it's timely salvation. And I was wishy-washy on it. I guess I gave a John Gill on it. And Brother Sonny says, you got to commit to it. So here I'm committed This is where I'm at now. He is a high priest. He maketh intercession every day on our behalf. And he can save us out of any situation when we come to God by him. Why? We pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't have the old high priest that had to offer. It's going to talk about it here. who needeth not, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins. They had the priests in the Old Testament had to make a sacrifice for their own sins before they could even consider yours. But not this one, not this man, but this man, I tell you, it tells us in Hebrews 8, though he were a son, though he learned he obedience, well, it's right here, 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. This is the Son of God we're talking about. God manifest in the flesh. How did he learn anything? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It said, and being, I used to think in my mind it was, and being found perfect. No, it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. How was he made perfect? Oh, let's just talk all about Hebrews now. Hebrews 4. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All points he was tempted. Every way, he said, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Every temptation known to man, he endured and he passed. Oh, Brother Philip taught me years ago that the time whenever, if you remember, when Jesus was on the cross, and one of the last things he said was to John and his mother, "Woman, behold thy son, John. John, behold thy mother." Saying, "You have care of my mother now." What was he doing there? He was fulfilling the law, honor thy father and thy mother. Thank you, Brother Philip. You gave me that, and I learned something from you. Honor thy father and thy mother. One of the law, every jot and tittle of the law was fulfilled by him. But here in Hebrews 4 it says, we have not. Oh, I tell you, one of the sweetest verses in the Bible right here. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's what we need in this life. We need an intercessor, an interceder who can go to God on our behalf, who experienced everything. Oh, that's one of the limitations I have as a pastor whenever I talk to people who are going through things. And I tell you, we got to be careful not to say, "I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through," because it might not be, and it's mocking them sometimes is perceived that way. I don't know sometimes the things that people go through, but I can point you to one, the great high priest, who can. This man can't, but this man, he knows everything you've been through. He's been through them. He's walked this world, this low ground of sin and sorrow for 33 years. Why was it 33 years? I reckon because that's what it took. That's what it took for him to experience life and experience every temptation known to man and pass. Oh, he was made perfect. Yes, he was God manifest in the flesh. He was the express image of his person, but he was made perfect by the things which he suffered, and therefore he is able to succor them that suffer. He's able to help us. Oh, when you think on the limitations of this man or that man, you remember, but this man. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him. You remember that when you pray to God And when we end our prayer, we're saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Because that's who we're going to God the Father through. This man. Now over in Hebrews 10. We're going to start in 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the image, very image of the things, can never, with those fat sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. All of those sacrifices they did in the Old Testament did not take away sin. It did not make them perfect, but it brought a remembrance. It was like a schoolmaster to bring them unto God. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. I'm going to read a lot here, it looks like. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I believe that's the 40th Psalm that is quoting there. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, it says, by the which will. And he said, every priest standeth daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Oh, there's two things I believe taking place when he sat down. One, he was done. He was finished with his work. He sat down, but it says, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Let's go. I'm going here by faith, I trust. I think it's here. There in the 40th Psalm as well. It might not be. If it didn't, we'll just read a little in there. Where it's quoting there in Hebrews this. I don't think it is here what I'm thinking of. Where he is waiting. We'll just use it here in the New Testament. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. there, and where he says, then cometh the end. In verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. So I said there's two things, I believe, taking place where he sat down. One, that he was done. He finished the work. But there it says, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. And I believe when he sat down on a throne where he is reigning. And here it says, he must reign. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy, oh, this is sweet right here. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So he's reigning until death is destroyed. So talking about, you want to get into the 1,000-year reign that's advocated out there? No, sir. The Lord is reigning right now, because it tells us that he must reign until the last enemy be destroyed, and that last enemy is death. When he quits reigning, and he goes, and we all are with him in heaven, he's reigning over his kingdom right now. But when death is destroyed, then that's the end, and we're all going home. Oh, but here it says, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Oh, he sat down because he finished the work that God gave him to do. And he is reigning from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. One offering. Our sins. That's what it took. All the Old Testament sacrifices, they were of God and ordered of God, but they did not take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, one. So that tells us that it's done. Other sacrifices are not for that purpose. Although it does tell us in Romans 12, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It can't be for the same reason that this sacrifice was made. Because it was one. One sacrifice for sins forever. And to sit down. So what do we do? Oh, Brother Philip, in his prayer, I believe, towards the end there, you said, until then. That's been on my mind a lot, that phrase, till then. Because it pops out in a song, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. The last verse, I'm just going to go to. I got books up here, so Liz doesn't have to shake her head when I misquote things. The second to last verse says, when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. And then the last verse says, till then. Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. That's what we're living in right now, the till then. Because we believe that someday we are going to see him as he is. We're going to know even as we are known. We're going to love even as we are loved. But till then, we need some help. We need the strength of God daily. We need an intercessor. Oh, we can go to men, and maybe they'll help us for a little bit. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Oh, one of the things, I was been reading a book this week when I go on a trip. I went to Mexico and I get a book. It's called Farewell Berlin. And it's kind of a biography of a man, autobiography, of a man that was raised in Berlin, Germany, during the beginning of the war. And then he was forced to fight for the Nazis. And he didn't like them. He didn't want to fight for them, but he had to. And then he was a prisoner of war by the Americans, by the French, and then by the Russians. Held them all. And then he ended up, when he got home, he ended up moving to America, where he joined the U.S. Army, I believe, and became a doctor. It's a very good book. But the part I'm reading was, on the plane was where he was a prisoner of war. He was a prisoner of war of a war he didn't want to fight in. He said the Americans treated him the best, the French not so good, and the Russians horrible. But he went to a church service. They had a church service. They had a Catholic service and then a Protestant service. And he went to the Protestant service and he said the Lutheran, of course the German, Lutheran preacher's message was, God makes no mistakes. And he said that was his theme the rest of the his time being captured. And that really stuck out to me, that he drew that strength from that. Not saying that God orchestrated all these events, but he also had several instances of God's hand in his life. He was working in a factory in Berlin, and he got sick one day, and that day he was sick, the factory was destroyed by bombs. But anyway, it's a good book. And I'm trying to remember the point I was going to make with it. But that he drew from that, God doesn't make mistakes, was the message. And what a simple message that is. But our great high priest has never made a mistake. He's never misheard a request. He's never given the wrong answer. While it might not be the answer we think, but we have a high priest which was in all points tempted. Everything we've been through, he's been through. And that's what we need in the till then. Oh, to trust in God. And just that phrase, just remember that phrase. When we go to focusing, you know, one of my problems in my life, in my ministry, in everything, is I focus too much on me. This man is weak. This man doesn't do what he should. This man doesn't read as much as he should. But this man. What did he tell in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 when the Apostle Paul said, prayed to him, I besought the Lord thrice, that he would remove a thorn. He had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he besought the Lord thrice, and the answer was not, I'll remove the thorn. It was, my grace is sufficient unto thee. That's the first thing I tried to speak on after Brother Sonny asked if I felt the burden. And he put me up, and I tried to speak on, my grace is sufficient unto thee. And that's great. Anyone can preach that, right? Well, I don't think I had any liberty that day. But my grace is sufficient unto thee. For his strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, that we should just trust him. When we feel the sharpness of this man, when we feel the conviction, thou art the man, may we remember the man, Christ Jesus, but this man. Yes, but it tells us in Hebrews 7, but this man, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And in Hebrews 10, he says, And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering often the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, but this man. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Come ahead, brother.
Remember, he said, or she